Welcome to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. Good morning, good afternoon. Thank you very much for tuning in again. This is Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. We are pleased to have with us today Anja Katalin de Kunto. She is a project coordinator and policy advisor for food and procurement at Eurocities. Hello, Anja.
Hi. Hello, everyone.
Happy to have you with us, Anja.
So, fantastic to have this opportunity.
Our pleasure. So let's jump right in. Who are you? What is your background? And what do you do?
Yeah, so the story on how I ended up working with cities, it's one that is very common in Brussels. I studied actually European studies, and I wanted to specialize in corporate social responsibility and how companies actually can become more greener. And then out of internship opportunity, I discovered the magic word of cities, and instead how much cities are doing for sustainability. And then throughout my years, I work on different fields, from especially energy, climate adaptation, smart cities, digitalization, above all citizens' involvement, until in the last 5 years or since the Milan Urban Food Policy Pact and the Milan Expo, it became more and more evident how much cities can do for food system. And one of the magic weapon that they have, the magic wand, is actually procurement. So it came naturally to me to start focusing on this true topic. And then since then, we have been growing and growing, and we see how much cities are becoming more and more active.
Oh, okay. Very interesting. And tell us, what is Eurocities?
Yes, Eurocities is a network of big cities. We were created now 35 years ago, and the idea was to bring the voice of cities at the European Commission and the European Parliament, because, as you know, there is quite a lot of formal representation of the countries, of the regions, but not for cities. And as once again, cities are doing quite a lot on a different topics. So Eurocities works really on a variety of topics, from mobility, energy, but also inclusions of migrants, and above all, how can we maybe even end poverty? It's one of the topic. And then there is also cultural heritage. How do we involve citizens when we want to preserve cultural heritage of cities? Literally, digitalization, how can we provide the public services of high quality? So literally every single topic that has to do with cities and citizens is something we work on. Food is one of the latest one, actually, as I mentioned, and it's one of those that we clearly see is growing the most.
Okay, so let's go into food.
What is the problem with food systems in cities? How does that work?
Well, the problem of food starts outside of cities. The issue is that food is mainly being seen until now as food production. So it's something that cities have not been involved into, or it's always been, usually when we talk in terms of government, it's always been the remit of the national level or the regional level. And food production, as we know, has quite a lot of issues. And then it's all in the most recent years that even researchers started to say, hey, but food is not only food production. Food consumption, of course, has a very strong role to play also in changing the way we produce food and the way we consume and the way we try to prevent food waste. And because 80% of European citizens live in cities, it came kind of naturally to see how what cities could do then in terms of supporting changes in food consumption in cities. So instead of being a linear process from the production to waste, that it can really become also in this case a circular and systemic process, so a systemic view of food system. So that's why it's not only producers, but also the consumers.
In more detail, what can cities do to change our food systems, and what can they not do?
Well, what they can do very much depends sometimes on the responsibility they hold. This is something that depending also on the most pressing issues, we also see different kind of action. What I found really incredible and interesting is depending also on the region or the part of Europe where city or the part of the world where cities are, they of course try to tackle a different type of problem. And consequently, they also try to look at different solution. If we think of a city in North America where there is a very high level of poverty and malnutrition or access to unhealthy food, the kind of action they will do is indeed try to promote local food production, access to healthy food, tackling obesity. If we think instead of the Nordic cities of Europe, their main kind of focus will often be on sustainability and the more, let's say, greener aspect. So again, it will be about changing consumption towards more plant-based diet. When we think about the south of the world, south of Europe, where we have quite a lot of agriculture just outside the cities or even in the city, then we are thinking again, how can we move production towards, for example, agroecological solution or production with bio. So yeah, each city is, let's say, it's finding their own problems and is looking at their best entry point to tackle the issues. Maybe something else that I found particularly interesting is that that's something very common in the Dutch cities because food is such a strong power for economic growth. All their food policy were actually embedded in their economic governance department, which is very different instead from the south of Italy, where mostly will be part of the social department. So literally every city will see where their challenge lies, and they will find the best way and also the best and most innovative solution to look at them. Another example is Ljubljana. Ljubljana is a city that, incredibly, we might not think about it, but 50% of their territory is actually agricultural territory. So for them, it's fundamental that the food they produce is green, is local, is respectful of biodiversity, and they have among the best percentage of linkages between urban and rural. So really how much the farmers are involved in the life of the city. So just a few examples on how cities are acting. Then of course, the secret weapon is procurement. I mentioned before there is a strong link between procurement and food because usually the first action cities will do is because they are responsible for procuring the food, particularly for the school canteens, but also for we often forget about, for example, retirement home, even prisons. Cities are the one procuring the food for all this public establishment. What they will do, especially with children, is to use food as a tool for change in the production, for example, procuring more local, more seasonal, different variety of fruits so that we preserve the different seeds and plants, buying more biological. It's incredible the amount of percentage that cities are now asking of the food that they buy. It has to be biological. We have incredible examples all over Europe of this. And above all, they use this as an educational tool. Because it's about involving children. And we all know that when children are involved, then they go home and maybe they will tell to their mom and dad and family, today I've learned there are 15 types of apples in our region. And why do we always buy just one type of apple if we have maybe 15 types of apples that we could access? Yeah, so this is some of the examples. Some of the examples. This was, yeah.
So you were saying so that municipalities can educate people by better, the procurement could be better. Do you see how do they act to have the agriculture, the farmers more involved in bringing food to the city that is okay for them? How do they act so that it's not always fancy agriculture that arrives to cities, but more biological, as you were saying, or more eco? Is it only procurement, or is there other level of action that they can have?
Yeah, so now you're touching very different points. So the education is just part of the solution. I think no cities or no entity will ever go and say to people, you have to eat this or you should not eat this. The point is bringing citizens in a position to afford better quality food, or even bringing citizens in a position to access better quality food. And one way indeed is by bringing seasonal, quality, local, biological food in cities through local markets. Among the many solutions, it's really improving the access to healthy seasonal food. So again, we are not going to say to anybody, you shall not eat fast food, you shall not eat processed meat, but also just providing the alternative. This is the interesting concept of food environment. And is the idea that limiting ourselves to a label that says this is biological, this is better for you, of course, is important, but will not bring the level of change that we now need. So what do we need to change are the food environment. So really bringing better quality, healthy, sustainable, affordable food for everyone. Because that's also another part of the issue, the affordability. We all know that food that is produced with higher environmental standards, or not only environmental, even more in terms of fair trade, higher standards for animal welfare or for the people that are working, usually cost more. Their income able to afford that food, it should be also everyone, even the single mom that runs two jobs. So this is really another kind of action is concerning food aid solution. So again, try to bring, for example, VAT cut on healthy seasonal food. That could be one of the solution, or food aid. So really bringing people that unfortunately are less wealthy in a position to also afford better quality food. And this is also something that they do together with wholesale market. Again, a partnership between different type of actors. If I may continue, just one of the things that cities are trying to achieve is not one actor alone in the food system that will bring the magic solution to everything. It's different type of actors working together and going together towards the same goal. So it will be the farmers, the citizens, the schools. It will be the people running the waste department, because food waste is unfortunately another. It will be the retailers that maybe might be encouraged to offer different type of healthy food, seasonal food, and even plant-based diet. It will be the sellers, the wholesale market. So it will be a number of actors, without forgetting the startups, the SMEs, the science. There is no food policy, ambitious food policies, that is not science-based. At city, regional, or national level. So it's these actors that have to come together. That's why we are thinking of systemic change. It's not only one farmers that will be changing the entire thing, or it will not be just the consumers alone that will change.
Yeah, that seems a very exhaustive and holistic approach to things that is indeed needed. Allow me to quickly go back to what you said earlier about Ljubljana, that it's got such a high percentage of agricultural area in the city, within the city limits. How did that come about? Is that planned? Is that historic? Is that a historic development? What can we learn from this for other cities?
Yeah, so then when we went back to ask what can cities do, it very much depends on their planning, their urban planning. That I'm very much aware of Ljubljana, that indeed 50% of the area is rural agricultural land. I honestly don't know how it came to be. I guess it's some historical outcome. And then we think about Barcelona. Instead, Barcelona is completely surrounded by mountains. So they have a very limited amount of green, possibly agricultural land under their jurisdiction. And so in this case, what they have to do is very much collaborate with their peri-urban areas, with their metropolitan areas, in the case of France, Italy, now the advancements on the metropolitan area, or the functional urban areas. So even if from a governor's perspective, they are not one single entity, they still have to create collaboration, especially when it comes to food production. So let's say that when we think of a French entity and the metropolitan area, in theory, they should be a little bit more in an advantageous position in terms of collaborating, because an entity is already existing and the different cities inside the metropolitan area are already brought together for collaboration. but also in the case where this collaboration is not formally existing, it is necessary to create it if we want to especially promote more local regional food system, so local food production. So again, depending very much on the structure, on the land capacity, on the planning of the city, the way the... So cities have been very much shaped also by the food. This is not me saying that. There is a number of credible researchers that have been studying how much cities have been evolved also because of the food and how much food had to enter the city, the differences throughout history. And of course, the big change when the train was developed. And then it was not necessary anymore to have farms just nearby the city. So yeah, differences are very much historically based and also depending on what cities were consuming throughout time. But then the solution that they can come to, again, are very much dependent on the kind of power that they have, on the kind of strong relationship that they build with the regional level, with the province, with the metropolitan area, and above all, with the national level.
Thank you very much. Now, let's say if you had a magic wand,
yeah,
what would you like to happen in the next 3 years?
It will be such a fantastic thing. When it comes to food, on one hand, we overconsume, we overproduce. And on the other hand, we have a high level of malnutrition. Children going to school without having had breakfast. And incredible high level of... people being obese, and one third, particularly when it comes to Europe, one third of the food that we produce is wasted. So there is already enough food, as particularly when it comes to Europe. It's just that it's so, the challenges are so many. So if we could just redistribute, making sure the food will be efficiently produced and it will be the right, the quality food, for example, more plant-based and not so much dairy and meat that are responsible for overuse of our natural resources, we will be able to tackle most of the issues that it comes to malnutrition and obesity. It's just that it seems to be really, on one part, we have overconsumption of food that is not of the best quality, and on the other, we have people that have no access to food. It's just incredible. While we do have enough food, quality food produced. Of course, it's a bit different when it comes to the world as such. There, it gets even more complex, the situation, but at least for Europe, with a magic wand, with redistribution of resources, it is very much possible to achieve a sustainable food system that will not even require that much of an effort, or no, maybe not even a magic wand. It's actually very much achievable, even without a magic wand.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you very, very much, Anya.
Thank you. Bye.
You've been listening to Leaders in Sustainability, a podcast series by Trianon Scientific Communication. If you would like to know more about sustainable development and or corporate social responsibility, please visit www.science-by-trianon.com. where you will find our blog and contact details, and where you can subscribe to our newsletter.